The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha, Parsha Shalach, by Daber Hashem al Moshe Lemor. Hashem said to Moshe, saying, Shlach lecho anoshim, send for yourselves men, v'yosuru et eretz Canaan, so they may spy out the land of Canaan. Asher ani zinaisen livnei Yisrael, the land which I'm going to give, which I'm giving to Klal Yisrael, ish echod lemate aveisov, one man from each tribe, tishlochu, you shall send, kol nosivahim. Meishlach isa meishim imidbar poron al pi Hashem kulam anoshim roshe v'nei Yisrael heimo. And Moshe sent from the desert of Paran, in accordance to Hashem, and Kulam Anoshim. They were all men, they were all great men. Roshi Bnei Yisrael Heimah, and they were all the heads of the Bnei Yisrael. And then we have the story of the Meraglim. Now this episode is one of the most tragic episodes in the history of Klal Yisrael. Why do we say this? Because the Gemara in Erechin, which that Ba'asor Nishaynes, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested, or Na'asor Nishaynis Nisnasu Yisrael Es Hashem, 10 times Klal Yisrael tested HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it lists all of them from the Egel Azor, the golden calf, all the way yet in Egypt when across the sea, and on each one HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually waved, but this time he didn't, as it states in Pasuk Chof Beis, that you have tested me 10 times and you have not listened to me. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that this time though I shall not forgive you. And when they came back with the Beitzis Dibas or audits, that they brought back a bad report, a Loshon Hara, a slander against Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed, firstly, the Meraglim, those who were involved except Yeshua and Kaleb ben Yefuneh, they were killed. But the entire generation of the men, not the women, because the women didn't believe the report, but the men were decreed, it was decreed upon them, that they would not go into Eretz Yisrael. They would die in the Midbar, in the desert, and they would, anyone who was at 20 years old at that time, and they would wander for 40 years until this entire generation died out and the next generation would inherit the land. So because of this Avera, this slander, Eretz Yisrael was lost to this generation. But more than that, as we'll see in a minute, this took place Erev Tisha B'Av. They returned from Eretz Yisrael, Erev Tisha B'Av. And on that night, it states by Yifku that the nation wept, because of the report that they heard that Eretz Yisrael was a land which was impossible to capture, and it was a land with mighty nations, and we would be consumed there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara brings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Atem bechise bechia shel chinom, you are weeping for no reason whatsoever. Kovei ani aleichem laila zeh bechila lederes, I will set aside this night for you where it will be a night of weeping for generations. And since you are weeping for something which is totally unjustified, I will make it that this night will be set aside for generations where you will always weep. And this was Tisha B'Av. So Tisha B'Av came out of this whole episode. And what happened on Tisha B'Av? The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And the first Golus from Eretz Yisrael. The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and the second Golos from Eretz Yisrael, the Golos that we're still in. And the Manalmi Prague in the Sefer Netzach Yisrael goes even further. He says, what does this have to do with the destruction of Reis HaMikdosh or the Golos? This took place here in the desert before they even came into Eretz Yisrael. So he says the meaning is that had it not been for this, there would never be a Tisha B'Av. Not a Tisha B'Av means there would have never been a Churban or a Golos. There would have never been a destruction of a Reis HaMikdosh or an exile. This is what Tisha B'Av means. We would have never gone into exile. Why? Because just as the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, is something which was irreversible, the Kenesis or Oretz, the going into Eretz Yisrael, also would have been irreversible. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Klal Yisrael out of Egypt. He took them out, and he was going to bring them right into Eretz Yisrael, and would have been irreversible. And never would we have been forced to leave Eretz Yisrael. But what happened? The whole process was interrupted, and the door, the generation that came out, did not go in, and a new generation had to go in, and therefore it was something else. It wasn't the plan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had, which would be irreversible. So because of this, that's why it was possible that there could be an exile. But Lulei Zeis, without this, there would have never been an exile. There would have been one action, the going out of Eretz Yisrael, of Egypt, and the going into Eretz Yisrael, and it would have been forever. So we see the great calamity that came from this. Let's study this parsha this evening and see if there are some things we can learn from here. Now firstly, generally, we are given to think that the wandering in the desert from Egypt and from the giving of the Torah was a very, very long process. And actually, this is not true. It was a very short process. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Tainus and of Chof Tes. The Gemara says that, well, we know that Klal Yisrael went out of Egypt on Pesach. And 49 days later, they received the Torah. So it states, B'chedish, it states Bachedish Arishan, and Ashkedish Nisan, they came to Midbar Sinai. Midbar Sinai is a 3-day journey from Eretz Yisrael. So, when they. Bachedish Ashlishi, Reshkedish Sivan, they came to Midbar Sinai. Midbar Sinai is a 3-day journey to Eretz Yisrael. This means that when they left Egypt, and they went to Har Sinai, to the desert of Sinai, in Har Sinai, which took them 49 days. Actually, it was less than 49 days, because they received the Torah on the 6th of Sivan, and they received the Torah on the 6th of Sivan, and they came to Midbar Sinai and Reish Kedesh Sivan. So, when they came to Midbar Sinai, they were within 3 days of Eretz Yisrael. Now, they remained Etzel Ahar, they remained next to Har Sinai for almost a full year. This was the plan, to receive the Torah and to remain there for a year. It was a year less 10 days. The reason brought is that's like a color. They have, it's a special year. It says that on that year, the chosin must not go away. So they remained by Har Sinai for a year less than 10 days. On the 20th of Iyar, Bishon HaShenish, in the second year of going out of Egypt, then they started to move. They had the signal, the cloud, move on. The plan was to move into Eretz Yisrael, which was a 3-day journey. So the original plan was not that from Mitzrayim, from Egypt to Eretz Yisrael, is going to be a long drawn out affair. It was a matter of weeks from Egypt to Har Sinai. There they received the Torah, and they stayed there and studied the Torah
for a year less than 10 days. And from there, they were given the orders to march into Eretz Yisrael, which was 3 days away. But then, one episode after the other came the Misa'idanim, the Asafsuf, the complainers. There wasn't this, there wasn't that, there wasn't meat. Came the slob, the quail. Then came the Lashon Hara for Miriam, where Miriam had to be go out of the camp for 7 days. So this delayed them for another month or so. And now we come now to the Parshas Maraglim, which took place Erev Reish Chedesh Tammuz. We went from Ir to Sivan, and it was now Erev Reish Chedesh Tammuz, the 29th day of Sivan. All right. So Erev Reish Chedesh Tammuz, which was a little longer, a month later, they were supposed to go into Eretz Yisrael, which was 3 days. Instead, they said, no, we don't want to go right away, because we're concerned. Will we be able to conquer the land? Is it the land that will be able to settle? And so forth and so on. So they came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said that first we want to send in Maraglim spies and get a report on it. Moshe was somewhat unnerved about this, because this was not in the instructions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look, I don't need any spies. And as far as I'm concerned, you don't need any either, because I already told you what it's told me out. And you will conquer it. But if you want, send. Shlach lecho, send for yourselves. So they sent and it took 40 days. It states that they spied out the land for 40 days. So 40 days from the 29th of Sivan, the Reish Chedesh Tammuz, is the 9th of Av. So they came back on the 9th of Av, which was Erev Tishuv. That's when they gave the report. And that night is when they wept. And that night was set aside for generations for weeping. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu said that because of all of this, this generation will not inherit the land, but only the next generation. So from there it was decreed 40 years of wandering in the desert. So what they did is they took a 3-day journey and made it into 40 years. Now, what we see from here very strongly, how it's possible for a person to take something very simple and make it into something very complex. How it's possible for a person to take something good and be makalta, destroy it. How it's possible for a person to take a derech yeshora, a straight path, and a short path, and make it crooked. This is what we see from here. The Gemara says that it was ki beder odom chelak ra le'atzmai. Like you show a person, you offer a person his choice in taking various portions of something you want to give him. And you point to it, and you say, here, take this, this is the best. But instead he goes and he takes the worst. This is what Klal Yisrael did. They were offered the best, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them what the best is. Instead, a person that chooses the worst thing for himself. They took a trip that would take 3 days, that would be L'chaim Tevi Baruchi. Be long life. They made it into 40 years, and from there came out death to an entire generation, and from there came out the Churban, the destruction of the first base of Migdash, the destruction of the second base of Migdash, and all of the exiles. Otherwise, Eretz Yisrael would have never been able to be lost to them. Now, firstly, there's many things we can learn from here. Firstly, why don't we say, when they came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said, the people want to send. Should I send So Kodesh Baruch Hu answered him as follows. Rashi brings. He says, "Ani eini mitzav alocho. I'm not commanding you to send. Im tirtze, shlach. If you want, send. Ani omarti lahem shiteva. I already told you it's a good land, and there's nothing to spy out, and there's nothing to worry about. But since you want to, and you insist on sending, then send, and chayehem shani nesin lemokom litais bedivere amaraglim leman leir shuha. And now I will give you an opportunity for error. You're insisting on sending, then send. But chayehem, you should know, it's a dangerous path. Because now there will be an opportunity for error. Mokum litos. That is, there won't have been an opportunity for error. Now the first question we can ask on this is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could foresee all of this coming. He knew what would be. So why didn't he refuse Moshe permission to send the rabbi? Simple question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should have said, no, I know what's going to happen if they go, and I know the great calamities that's going to come from it. Therefore, the answer is no, I refuse your permission. That would have been very simple. Look what we would have saved. We would have saved the whole generation, 40 years, the Churbonais, Eretz Yisrael. Why didn't he say no? There's going to be an answer that we'll bring in a minute in the Medrash. But the ultimate answer is that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not intervene when it comes to decisions that are given to people. The right of decision between right and wrong, that was given to man. And if a person wants to do wrong, the Almighty won't stop him. If he wants to do right, he won't stop him. This was given to man. This is what the Chazal tell us, Melichin Esa Odom Biderek Shereitze Lelich. Kodesh Baruch Hu guides the person in the path that he wants to go. And we see how great this is, the power of Bechira, the power of rejoice. When it comes to determination between right and wrong, other cheshbonos, there the Kodesh Baruch Hu will intervene. But to determine what is right and what is wrong, now here, the Medrash tells us this was a great lack in Emunah. It was a great lack in faith. They were worried if they would be able to conquer the land, if they would be able to settle and hold the land. They were going into an unknown here. And it was known that there were seven gigantic nations dwelling in the land, ferocious and so forth. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had continually said that this is a wonderful land, and you can conquer it, and it'll be yours. So they should have had full emunah, full faith in him. Instead, they didn't have full faith. They wanted more proof. They wanted to know. They didn't want to go, but faith means where you rely on someone else's judgment. They wanted to use their own judgment. They didn't want to rely on Hashem's judgment. They wanted to rely on their own judgment. They wanted to see for themselves. So this was a lack of emunah. This was the avera. If you have emunah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lead you in that way. If you rely on me, if you trust me, then I will support you. If you don't trust me, then you can go in the own way that you want. I won't stop you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't stop a person. He does not intervene. And we see how great this goes, because here it's talking about the whole history of Klal Yisrael. It would have been very simple to prevent this whole generation from being destroyed and from the Churban of Eretz Yisrael. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't intervene. This is the ultimate answer to this question. From here we see how important it is when a person has a decision to make. He has to look at the decision and decide what is right and what is wrong, and he has to do what is right. And he cannot go with the philosophy that, look, I will do what I want to do, and a Kodesh Baruch will make sure it's right. Or I'll do what's easier, and it'll be all right. Or whatever will be done will be for the best. That's after you determine that this is the right thing to do, then you can rely on Hashem. But you cannot go and do what's easier, or do whatever you want to do, and say that the Kodesh Baruch Hu, whatever, it'll be for the best. Because then can come out a great korban, a great destruction. Now the Medrash in Parshas Tezayin, here in Shlach, in Parshas Tezayin, brings an example. Bishu Aimer, Lamahaya Daimin, Lamelech Sheziman Livnei Isha Noya. A person, this is an example to this, is a king who had a son. He said it's time for his son to get married. The son was the prince. So he went and he found for his son a very beautiful woman, Ubas Tevim, from a very good family, Bashira, very wealthy. It was a good shidduch. Omaleya Melech Zamanti Loch Isha Noya Ubas Tevim Bashira. So he told the king that I have prepared for you a beautiful wife, a daughter of good family, and a wealthy family. Omaleya Ben Eileich Ve'ere Aiso Shelohaya Maimin Loviv. So the son said to the king, I want to see her. I want to see her first. He didn't believe the father. Miyad huksha dove vohor al oviv. Vehir al oviv. Immediately, this was a blow to the father, that the son would not trust him, and he wasn't happy with it. He became angry. Omar oviv, ma ese. So the father said, what should I do? He said to himself, if I say no, I'm not going to show her to you, so then he won't believe me. He'll say, she's not beautiful, she's not presentable, that's why you don't want to show her to me. Eventually he said, alright, go and see her. But teida im kozavti loch, and then you will know that I have not lied to you. But bishvil shleyamanti bi, but because you didn't listen to me, because you didn't trust me, keinim shein atoreya iso beveischa ela levincha ani naisno. I take a vow that she will never be your wife; she'll be the wife of your son. Kaha kodesh bochu omar li Israel. So did Hashem say to Israel, teva oretz, the land is very, very good. They didn't believe him. They said, we want to see, we want to test it ourselves. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if I don't show them the land, then it's not good, then they won't believe me that it's good, and they'll say, that's why I didn't show them the land. All right, I'll show it to them. But before I take an oath that they will not go into this land, it will be given to their children. This is the example the Medrash gives. Now, 2 points on this, though. The simple reason is, as the Medrash said, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't say no to them, because otherwise they'll say that the land is not beautiful. That's why you don't want to show it to us. It's not such a good land. But still, Hashem could have overridden that. Look, he could have said, go, and you'll see that it's good. Go into the land as a nation and you'll find out it's good. Still, our question remains, why did he allow them to go? To send out spies and such a everlasting calamity came from it. See? So the simple reason is like the Medrash says, is because he didn't want them to think that he was lying to them. Like it states an example. But there's another question here. In the example that the Medrash brings, it says that the king said that I take a vow that this beautiful bride you shall not have. Your son will have. So did HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu take such a vow? He didn't take such a vow. He said, Shlach Lecho, go and see. He didn't take a vow you shouldn't have the land. That was only afterwards when they came back and they were Meitzi Dibus Ro. So it's not as the Medrash states. The example with the king is the king said, you don't believe me that it's a beautiful bride. Alright, go and see for yourself. And I'll show you I'm not lying. But because you didn't believe in me, you will not have the bride. Your son will have the bride. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say that. He said, go and spy out the land. Had they not come back with a diboror, with a slander, they would have had the land. The answer is, this is what Rashi brings from the Chazal. He said, Shlach lecho go ledaitcho, but chayeya mishaninais lemokam litais. But I will give you now the opportunity for error. The opportunity for error was not there. Had they gone with trust in Hashem into the land as a nation, there would have been no opportunity for error. But because they tested him, they didn't believe him, so he said, all right, now I'm going to give you an opportunity for error. And now it will come out from here that you will lose the land. In other words, I will place a mikshol, I will place a stumbling block in front of you. Excuse me. A little further. That if a person places his trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Hashem will lead him in such a way. If he doesn't place his trust in Hashem, and he wants to do it on his own, he doesn't want to listen. And he wants to go with his own judgment and only what he sees. Not only is he going to lack the support of Hashem, but he walks on dangerous land. Chayehem, chayehem, shani neisin lachem mokum litus. Now I will give you opportunity for error. Just as the king said, you don't trust me, so you won't have the bride. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you don't trust me. Now I will create an opportunity where you won't have the land. He didn't take the land away from them. That came through their avera in the end with that they brought slander back. But he gave them the opportunity to lose the land. But someone that goes with trust to the Almighty, he will not give them such an opportunity. The Medrash brings a posuk on the Meraglim. It says that these 12 men that went, Kulei Roshi B'nei Ovis, they were all leaders. They were all great men. At that time, Kshedim Hoyu. They were great men and they were righteous people. But it writes on them, this is with the exception of Yeshua and Kaleb ben Yefuneh, he brings the posuk in Parshas Hazino. Brings the posuk on Lamed Beis Chof. Vayemer astiru fonai mehem ere moach rishon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, astiru fonai mehem, if I conceal my face from them, ere moach rishon, let us see what will be the ultimate. Ki do tapuchais emo. It is a generation that turns everything upside down. Bonim le emun bon. It is children that do not have no faith. I will conceal my face from them and see what the ultimate will be. That means that as long as they can see me, they listen to me. But the minute I go away, then they're lost. As long, you have many people that when things are good, they praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the minute things become difficult, then they're lost. Then they want to know, where is Hashem? What happened? Is there a God in the world? And so forth and so on. This is what Hashem says. Astir fonai mehem erma achrisom. The minute I conceal my face from them, and I will see what will happen. When I gave them the Ten Commandments on Har Sinai, everything was wonderful. They saw me. But the minute I concealed myself from them, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come back on the hour that he was supposed to, they went and they made the Egel Azov, the golden calf. When I was in front of them, everything was fine. When they were confronted to go into Eretz Yisrael and they didn't know, they didn't see clearly what would be, they became lost. Now what is this? This is a lack in Amunah. Kidot ha-puches heimo bonim la-emun bom. This is a generation that turns everything upside down. They do not believe in me. The Sarashi says, mahapchim ritzeni lekas. They turn my goodwill towards them into anger. This was the situation here. Kadosh Baruch Hu rushed them out of Sinai, wanted to give them Eretz Yisrael, and they with their own hands destroyed it. They with their own hands made a long process out of it. Dot hapuches, they took what was good and made bad, they took what was straight and made crooked, they took what was easy and made hard. Why? Because le emun bom. Because they wouldn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what the Chazal tell us, what the Torah tells us. It states, V'hoyu advorim ha'ele asher anochi mitzavcha ha'yayim alev avecho. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what I command you today shall be on your hearts. What does it mean, alev avecho? That what I command you today shall be alev avecho, on your hearts. The Torah must be imbued in a person's heart. It's not enough that the Torah is misof alachutz, from his lips outwardly. Many people, many times we talk. But it's all at the verbal level. It's all at the superficial level. At the shallow level. And therefore the minute times become difficult, the minute we are tested, falls apart. That the Torah has to be on your hearts, imbued in your hearts. So a person does not go away from the Torah. He does not go away from the Hashem in good times or in difficult times. When he sees him or when he cannot see him, he's leyasur. He doesn't turn away. This is emuna. This is the faith. This is temimus. This is what it states, tovim tiyam Hashem alekeichem, that you should walk with Hashem with a fullness of heart. Tomim tiyam with a fullness of heart. Not when I see things are going my way, then I have use for Hashem. But the minute things become difficult or I have doubts or I do not see things going the way I want them to go, then I don't believe. Then I have doubts. Then I have other questions. Tovim tiyam Hashem alekeichem means Hashem alekecho, that with fullness of heart, that it's imbued with an emek, with a depth, and therefore it's lo yasuru. You don't turn away. You do not turn away from Hashem. This is what was lacking here, and therefore they were bonim le'emun, children without faith. And this is what happened. We see this also. The Chazal Rashi brings, here right at the beginning, he says, Loma nisbecho pashas meraglim lepashas Miriam. The last pasha we learned last week, at the end of Baalei Sichot, dealt with Miriam. The Lashon Hara that Miriam said against Aaron. against Moshe. Here is the parsha of the Meragli. Why are these two parshas put right next to each other? So Rashi brings to the Gemara, Lefi shaloksal iske dibo shedibra bo achio. V'rishoyim alalu roo v'leik lokhu Musa. Miriam was stricken with a punishment because she slandered her brother Moshe. These people here, see, the beginning of their hate was that they lacked faith. But the end was, which finally brought down the whole punishment, was that they came and they slandered Eretz Yisrael. They should have known better, because they saw what happened to Miriam when she spoke Lashon Hara, and they saw how she was punished. And they saw v'leilochu Musa. They saw and they didn't learn from her. They didn't take rebuke from her. Rav v'leilochu. And this is the same thing. All of the time we see things. But when we see things, we're supposed to take them to heart. We don't. We see HaKadosh Baruch Hu do things, and we don't take them to heart. So therefore we come to a situation like this. We're supposed to ro'u v'lochu Musa. We're supposed to see and take them to heart. HaKadosh Baruch Hu warned them. The reason, one of the reasons why he brought this on Miriam was that everyone should see. They saw and they didn't take it to heart. This is an everyday life. Similar we have here. It states, we learned this was in last week's Parsha also. The Parsha of Seta, of the adulteress, and the Parsha of Nozir, of the Nazarite, are placed together. Why? It states, Kolarea Seta b'kulkula yazer atzma min ayin. Whoever sees the results of an adulterous wife, then yazer atzma min ayin. He should make himself like a nozer. He should abstain from wine. Because wine is the great cause of such things. So what does that mean? When you see a calamity, you see a great tragedy, it's not enough to see it and then forget about it. It's not enough to see it and then walk on. But we must take it to heart. We must ask ourselves, what brought that great tragedy? And when we come up with an answer, we must do something about it. For example, a person is walking along and he sees, heaven forbid, an accident on the road. It's a tragedy. See, he looks and he walks on. Now, must ask himself, what caused it? Here is wasteless loss of life, wasteless loss of health, wasteless loss of money. What caused it? What caused it was careless driving. So when he sees it, he has to learn Musar from it. He has to be rebuked from it. And from there he has to start to drive better. Be more careful. But not just for the next 15-20 minutes. That's the fool. Actually, the Medrash calls these were the Ksilim. These were fools. That's the fool. But he has to take it to heart. See what careless driving can do. See what speeding down the road can do. Same thing. You see a case of adultery. You see a broken home. You see what happens to the people involved, to the children involved. Don't just walk away from it. Yazer atzma min ayin. One of the great causes of this was alcohol. The Torah tells us. Drunkenness. Or lack of self-control. Where a person gets himself involved in he becomes too pleasure-seeking. And you must learn from it. You must take rebuke from it. And do something about it. Then a person grows, then a person becomes a greater person. A person has opportunity to learn all of the time. All of the time. The opportunity he has. The question is, does he learn? The fool sees it, he talks about it, and then walks away. Rishoyim halolu, rohu, these Rishoyim saw, they saw what Loshon Hora does. V'leilokhu Musa. How many times do we see Loshon Hora and we see what it does? Destroys people. But with Lola Chumusha, we walk away from it. And we go on with Loshon Hora. The contrary, the opposite to this, the Torah describes in one of the greatest individuals that ever lived. This was Yisro. Yisro was not from Klal Yisrael. He was from outside of Israel. Still, he became so great where he was able to contribute a parsha to the Torah. His etzah, his counsel that he gave Moshe Rabbeinu, Kodesh Baruch Hu agreed with it, and it was written in the Torah, and he added to the Torah. This is why his name was Yisro. Yes, sir. Sheyitar parsha achas b'Torah. He added to the Torah that Moshe gave, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu incorporated in the Torah. This is how great Yisro was. What does it tell us on Yisro? In the parsha of Yisro, it states as follows. Beginning of Parshas Yisro, it says, "Vayishma Yisro kein midyan chesin Moshe, es kol asher osa lekim lemoshe." Yisro heard what took place. Actually, the Gemara in Zvachim, we quoted it in the Shvuah Shir. I believe it was on Kuftes Vov or Kuftes Zayin. The Gemara in Zvachim asked, "What did Yisro hear?" Yisro heard. What did he hear? Some say he heard the Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. He heard all of the great crashes of thunder and lightning and so forth. Others say that he heard the splitting of the sea. But whatever it was, he heard. And then it states, "Vayovei." And he came. Vayovei Yisro chesed mishma vonav yishtal Moshe. He came to Moshe el hamidbar, to the desert. Now the Chazal, the sages, learned something very. They learned something very great here. Yisro heard. Why was Yisro different than everyone else? Yisro heard, so everyone heard. But he came. Vayovei. But where did he come? He left his home. He lived in a palace. He was a king. He was a noble, a great aristocrat. He left his home, a palace. Vayovei Yisroich el Abidbar, to the desert where Moshe was. He heard, and he went to the desert. Why did he go to the desert? He went to the desert, little material. He wanted to study Torah. He heard of the great things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Moshe, his son-in-law, and for Klal Yisrael. See, he wanted to join Israel. He wanted to study Torah. But this was a man of action. Everyone heard. And they read about it. Just like today, we read the newspapers. We watch television. Today we have the bracha where we can see and hear everything that's going on all over the world. Everyone hears. But what do we do about it? Exactly nothing. Yisro heard, and he was action. He packed up. He packed up and moved out of his palace into the desert. This is what the Chazal say, Bashmu Shama Ubo. What was it that Yisro heard and then turned him into a man of action? This is a man. This is a person. The other is a ksila, fool. The other is a robot. A man is a person that sees and he hears and he reacts to it. He grows from it. And the other is a ksil. He's a fool. That's why the Torah tells us, you see, you see a breakdown of a home. You must do something about it. We're not talking necessarily to solve other people's problems. Again, we're not always in a position to solve other people's problems. But we must solve our own. That we are in a position to do. people all the time ask, well, what can I do about it? Do you want me to make peace in China or Russia? What can I do about it? Well, we can solve our own problems. We can grow ourselves. And this was the greatness of Yisro. And this is why what the Torah is telling us, this was another great chisoron, another great shortcoming of the Meraglim that the Torah is teaching us. That the greatest calamity in the history of Klal Yisrael came out because they were not people of action. They saw, they heard, and they did nothing about it. Roshoim Halolu Ro, they saw what took place, what happened to Miriam. They saw exactly what Loshon Hara does. But it made no impression on them. They did nothing. They did not grow up also. And therefore a calamity like this came out. This is another very important principle in everybody's life. Now it's another interesting note that we can make is when we try to analyze a situation, everyone, all of us, all of the time, are confronted with decisions. We're confronted with decisions between what should we do? Should we go to the right? Should we go to the left? What should we do? And we try to analyze the situation to the best of our ability. And what should we do? Now, we look at the circumstances. We look at the situation. But it's very important to know, when we look, do we always see? Do we see? Do we see the facts as they are, objectively? Or do we see what we want to see? Do we see subjectively? If you analyze people when they have a problem and they come to a decision, you see usually, most of the time, they're leaning not towards what they should do, they're leaning towards what they want to do. People are not necessarily doing what they should do, but they're doing what they want to do, or they're doing many, many times what's easier to do. You have two ways, shtei drochim, two paths in front of you, one to the right and one to the left. Generally, the gravity pulls towards the easier way. What seems easy to us, in this situation, it seemed easier to send in spies. But not, it wasn't easier. And this is very, very important. When we're faced with decisions, especially important decisions, we have to make sure never to do just because it's easier, and never to do just because it's what we want to do. It might seem to be easier. It might seem to be a derek sora, what is known as the derek sora shiarucha, a short path which is very, very long. There was a case over here. But what must be the criteria? The criteria must be to do what's right. We must determine what's the right thing to do. And then we must do it whether it's a short path or a long path, or whether it's easy or difficult. We must let what's right guide us. And that's the best compass. That's the best direction. You cannot go wrong by doing what's right. You can go wrong by doing what looks easier, and you can go wrong by doing what you want to do. And we suffer from it. Now, when we analyze the situation, now we have to make very sure, and we have to be mispalu, ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us good counsel and good guidance, and to give us help, but to make sure that we see what there is to be seen, not we see what we want to see. And here you have a very good example. There are a few illustrations here. For example, the Torah tells us here in the Parshas and Meraglim that when they went into Eretz Yisrael, it states, "Vayalu and Posuchov Beis, Vayalu vaNegev, Vayoveyat Hebron." They went up to the Negev, and they came to Hebron. Then it states, "V'chevron shevesh shonim nimnasa lifnei Tzayin Mitzrayim." Hebron was 7 years built before Tzoan of Egypt. Now the Chazal ask and prove that actually Tzoan was built before Hebron. So why does it say Hebron was built 7 years before Tzoan? So it's telling us it means differently. It means Hebron was seven times more beautiful than Tzoan of Egypt. Now the sages say we must appreciate
that statement. Why?
Because there was no place that was of least beauty in Eretz Yisrael than Hebron. Hebron was, we know, was used for kfura. It was used for burial. Fact is, Moris Marpela, Avraham, bought it for a burial site. Hebron was set aside for burial. And the reason, the simple reason is because it was full of rocks. It was not fertile land. So it was not good for anything else. It was barren and arid. So Hebron is the worst of Eretz Israel. So on, Egypt was known as Kigan Hashem. It looked like the Garden of Hashem. Egypt was the most beautiful land in the world. Before it was devastated by the 10 plagues, Egypt was the most beautiful, fertile valley in the world. Actually, still boasts, the Nile Valley is still supposed to be very beautiful and fertile, but then it was the most beautiful in the world. Tzalan is the place where the kings of Egypt lived. They had their summer palaces there. So Tzalan was the most beautiful city in the most beautiful land in the world, and Hebron was the worst of Eretz Yisrael. And still it states Hebron was 7 times more beautiful than Tzalan. So it gives you an idea of how beautiful Hebron was, which gives you an idea of how beautiful Eretz Yisrael was. This is how the Chazal interpret this posuk. But there's another question. What is it doing here? What's it have to do here? It says the spies are going to spy out the land. They come to Hebron and it starts telling me, comparing Hebron to Tzalan. So what's it telling us? The answer is simple. They went to see if it's a good land. This is what they saw. They saw that the beauty of Eretz Yisrael was incomparable. This is what they saw. That's why the Torah is telling them. The worst was 7 times better than the most beautiful place in the world. So it's a question. If that's it, how could they come back with a diboror? How could they come back with such venom and such evil information? The answer to this is even this couldn't convince them. They didn't see the circumstances. They didn't see the facts. They saw what they wanted to see. They didn't want a good report. They didn't want to go, as we'll see in a minute. This is what they saw. Another example. It says they came to Nahal Eshkol. They came to a certain valley, which was called Eshkol. Eshkol means a cluster of grapes. Actually, the Gaon brings that it was later called Eshkol because of the cluster of grapes which they were going to take from now. Vayichrusu misham zmeira beEshkol anovim echod vayisu'u vameit bishnoim uminarimeinim uminateinim. And they cut fruit from there. And they cut the fruit to take back because they wanted to bring samples of the land back. So they cut a cluster of grapes and they carried it with staves. The Gemara darshins that not that they carried it with 2 staves, they carried it with 4 staves. 2 across this way and 2 across this way. So they carried it with 4 staves. And 4 staves, and there's 2 ends at each stave, so it took 8 people to carry this cluster of grapes. This cluster of grapes was so immense and so heavy that it took 8 people to carry it. Min harimainim, this is a Gemara in Seita, Daf Lamed Dalet. Min harimainim, and then they took a pomegranate. Umin ateinim, and they took a fig. One carried the pomegranate. The pomegranate was so big that one could only carry 1 pomegranate. These were big, strong men. And one carried a fig, and the figs were so big that one had to carry a fig. It took 10 people to carry a cluster of grapes and a fig and a pomegranate. Now, what does this prove? This shows the broch of Eretz Yisrael. These are the peiros, the fruits that Eretz Yisrael was praised with. Eretz Yisrael had such broch that the fruits were immense. And it took 10 people to carry this. The other 2, though, Yeshua and Kolev, wouldn't carry. Why? why wouldn't Yeshua and Kolev carry? Because they brought these back that they should be evidence for the evil report. Kishem Shepeirei Seha Mishuna. See, just like the fruits are so extraordinary, Kach Yeshveh, so are the people so extraordinary. See, here HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed them fruits of endless bracha, and they used it as the dibaro. They used it to substantiate the slander. They said, if this is the fruits, you can imagine what the people are. So they're giants. They'll devour us. Another example brings in Pasuk Lamed Beis, Vayetziu Dibas Ha'oretz Asher Toro Esho B'nei Yisrael Emor. They slandered the land, saying, Ha'oretz Asher Avanevol Asur Esei Eretz Echeles Sheishvelhi. The land which we came to see is a land which consumes its inhabitants. They said, don't go to that land. It's a land which is a chelesh eshvehu, it consumes its inhabitants. Why did they say that? So Rashi brings, b'chol mokum shavanu mitzronum kevet emesim, because wherever we went, we saw funerals, levayas. Wherever we were going, there were levayas, funerals. So it must be that people are always dying. So it's a land that has a nature that kills its inhabitants. Meanwhile, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked the Teva kedei letardem be'evlam v'le'itnu lev la'ilu. It was true. There were many funerals that were taking place, an extraordinary amount of funerals taking place at that time. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it for their good, because he wanted the spies to have an easy time. He didn't want them to be chased all around by all of the people living there. So he made where many people would die that day, or those days, and there would be many funerals, and everybody's busy with levayas, and they won't realize that there's spies coming through the land. So here, again, they completely misinterpreted what they saw. Here are three illustrations where they saw, but it was a total misinterpretation of what they saw, or a total lack of recognition of what they saw. They saw Hebron, the worst of Eretz Yisrael, to be seven times more beautiful than the most beautiful city in the world. They saw blessing of fruits that was incomparable. And again they saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was making miracles for them. And they used this all in the Dibro. So from here we see how important it is that when we look at something, we must see it. And when we see it, we must analyze it correctly. We must go with great chokhmah, with great wisdom, to study a situation. Now, incidentally, why? Why did they misinterpret all of these facts and figures? Why? That's told to us in another posuk. It states in Pasuk Chof Hei, in Chof Vov it states, Vayelchu Vayavou, they went and they returned El Meisha. Now that Pasuk, it should not say Vayelchu. We already know they went. Pasuk Chof Vov is speaking after they returned. See, in the earlier Pesukim it says they went, and it says that they spied out the land for 40 days, and it tells us what they did. Then it says they came back. Vayoshuvu mitura oretz miketz arboim yaim. They came back after 40 days. So it should say in Pasuk Chavo, Vayavo el Meisha, they came to Meisha. It says Vayelchu Vayavou. They went and they came back to Moshe. So what does it mean, they went and they came back? So the Rashi brings the Gemara and Saita, Ba mahu Vayelchu lahakish alichos and nebiosun. To tell us that they went with the same intent that they came back with. Ma bi'osin be'itzaro, af alichosin be'itzaro. Just like when they came back, we saw that they came back with an evil report. So when they went, they went also to get an evil report. What does this mean? They didn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. They didn't trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is evident from the beginning, because if they did, they wouldn't have said Shlach Lecho. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's a wonderful land, I've already told you, and you will conquer it. So why did they come and they say, let's send people to spy it out? See, what was lacking? So the answer was, is that they were reluctant to go. They didn't want to go. Whatever the reason is, if they were afraid of the land, or whatever reason, they didn't want to go. They were reluctant. And that's why they didn't go outrightly. And now when it was time to go, they said, not so fast. The people said, let's first send 12 people there and let's see. Let them come back with a report. Not so fast. They didn't want to go. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, look, there's no purpose to send. It's not necessary. If you're insisting on send, all right, send for yourself. So therefore, when they did send, they went with a reluctance. They went with a negative attitude. There are many things, many times we don't want to go someplace. We don't want to go. So finally we say, all right, I'll go take a look. But I go with reluctance. I go with a negative attitude. So I see what I want to see. I see everything with a reluctance, and I see everything with a negative attitude. There are many undertakings we don't want to undertake because it's too difficult or too much hassle. So someone convinced you, go take a look at it. All right, I go take a look. So I see what I want to see. I get out the information that I want to get out. I don't look at it objectively. Vayelchu vayavou lahakish biosan lalichosan. Lahakish halichosan biosan. They came back with a diberah. This was the attitude that they went with. And since they went with a negative attitude, then it was very easy for them to have negative visions of everything they saw. Now these people were not liars. They're not liars. They saw it. But they had negative attitudes of everything they saw. And this was the Mokum Litas. This was the Mokum Litas HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them. Now two things we learn from here. Firstly, we learn that almost many, many times, many times, a person's thoughts and his vision and his analysis will be in accordance to the attitude that he has towards this whole business. If he has a positive attitude towards something, he'll be able to have positive visions, positive analysis, and so forth. If he has a negative attitude, these are the visions he's going to have. These are the analysis he's going to have. These are the interpretations. Even if he's not a liar, this is what he's going to see. Because a person doesn't always see objectively. There's a lot of subjectivity in what he sees. And this was the case here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed them gigantic fruits to show the blessings of Eretz Yisrael. And they were Danish Lignai. They used this Lignai, they used this against Eretz Yisrael. He showed them a beautiful city like Hebron that's incomparable. Made no impression on them. He did miracles for them. To show them, here you can walk around and nobody's even looking at you because they're busy with Leviathans. And they used the Lignai, they used it against Eretz Yisrael. That's the first thing. So it's very, very important that when you go into something, when you look at something, you're going to have to look at it from straight objectivity, not from negative attitudes. But secondly, it's very interesting what the Maral writes here in his Agodas to Masechta Seter. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if there's such a great fear, if there's such a great possibility of a mokum litos of mikshol where people can stumble, so how do they ever come out right? Here you see 12 Roshi b'nei Ovis, Beis Ovis Eimo, 12 heads of Klal Yisrael, and they went into Eretz Yisrael and they fell. So, is this the great the great obstacles which are placed in front of people all of the time. So then how can the average person come out right if life is like such a minefield? So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't place obstacles in front of people. He doesn't place obstacles in front of people. People place obstacles in front of themselves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say that I am going to give you opportunity to err. That was only after they themselves did. When they came and they said, we don't trust you. You said, go to Eretz Yisrael, we're reluctant to go. You said, it's a beautiful land, we don't believe it. You said, we'll conquer, we don't trust you. We want to go and see for ourselves. In other words, their halichosa and their going in was lera, was for evil, because they didn't trust the Almighty and they wanted to work against Him. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Chayehem, Chayehem. Say, by your lives, I am going to give you Mokum Litais, I'm going to place obstacles in front of you. But otherwise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't come and place obstacles in front of people. They chose it themselves. It was like the king who offered to his son a beautiful bride. He wasn't giving enough. The son was going to have a bride with no effort whatsoever. The king took it away from him. Why? Because he took it away from himself. He refused to trust his father. We are the ones that create the obstacles. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us a path which is very short and which is very straight and which is comparatively easy. We are the ones who take a 3-day journey and make a 40-year journey out of it. We are the ones who take a Yetzias Mitzrayim which will go into Eretz Yisrael immediately and will be irreversible, and we make it reversible, not the Almighty. And because they're halichosa and they're original motive was to stray away from Hashem. This is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed all of these obstacles in front of them, and this is what happened. So this is also a very important point that we learn from here. These are some of the principles that we learn and that we can incorporate in our own lives. When we are constantly confronted with decisions, very important to realize that decisions are in our hands. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us the free choice to make the decisions. But he says we must rely on him, we must have trust in him, we must decide to do what is right, what he has told us is right. Whether it's long or short or easy or difficult, we must decide to do what is right and then rely on him. It's when we do not want to do this, we want to do what we want to do ourselves, or what's easier, this is when all of these problems come and we have difficulty determining, seeing the facts the way they are, and so forth. And these are some of the principles that we learn from this parsha of Meraglim, which is so important in the Torah history of Klal Yisrael.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.